Now we're in the midst of a study of the most amazing subject. We sang about that subject this morning, and that is the subject of faith and a man of faith. Now, faith is a realm wherein God dwelleth, and without living in this realm, there is no connection with God. We access God by faith. And as we sing in that wonderful song, faith is indeed the victory that overcomes the world. You want to overcome the world, you overcome it through faith, because faith brings you into the dwelling of God. So as we travel then with Abraham through the scriptures, God provides us with a picture of a man walking by faith, but we're also given to know that as a toddler learns to walk in faltering steps at first, but gaining in ability as walking is experienced, Abram also falters and fails as he learns this walk of faith. You know, God gives us this experience that Abraham came through, who is the father of faith, that we might learn what faith will bring us. All men, all women, whether or not they are listed in the scriptures, are to learn to walk by faith, for all men are with flaws, with sins, and with failures. Anybody that doesn't have flaws, sins or failures may leave this Sunday school class because you won't be helped. No one's leaving. So I suspect that all of us fit into this where we are to learn to walk by faith. Now, Moses, the writer of Genesis, leaves nothing out in matters of Abram's failures for his account of Abram's initial steps toward and in Canaan left much to be desired as a solid walk of faith. We read of this in the scriptures and we wonder, what's going on? Where is this solid walk of faith? But Hebrews 11 speaks of Abraham's faith when all was said and done, but Genesis speaks of Abraham's faith as it was growing. Now that's the difference between Hebrews 11 and these passages in the book of Genesis. You know, Solomon wrote this in Ecclesiastes. This is something that we ought to have embedded in our hearts as a truth, for it's in verse 8 of chapter 7, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof." You know, God doesn't look at you now. He looks at you at the end. And He examines you at the end. Where did your faith bring you? Have you grown in faith? And that's how He describes Abraham in chapter 11 of Hebrews. So Abraham, yes, he was a man of great faith, but great faith after years and years of trials and testings by God. You know, we are to take this as the example as how God raises His children and how you ought to raise your children. We are all to be tested that our faith may grow. You know, your children are to be tested. They're not to be provided everything, but they're to be tested so that there are trials and difficulties in their lives. For in our best moments, our faith may be strong, but in the next, we forget God and cry like a baby cries, weak and in great need. We up and down, because that's the nature of this body that we live in and this mind that we operate. So what can we learn from our father Abraham as we too walk this road of faith? A road whereby God grows faith by nurture and admonition. My, how often we are admonished by the Lord. Read the Word of God and you're admonished by the Lord. Why? Because the Lord hates you? No, because the Lord loves you. You know, it seems to be in the world today, if there's admonishment, you hate people by admonishing people. But that's not the case. You love people by admonishing people in the right way, in the scriptural way. And thereby, God grows faith in us by nurture and admonition. Now, one thing to learn is that faith is begun by the initiative of God. You know, we're dead in trespasses and sins, and God has to take some action. So faith is done by the initiative of God. It was God alone who sought out Abraham and saved him. God looked down, he looked in Ur of the Chaldees, and there was Abram. And God said, I'm going to bring that person to faith. And it was by the act of God in faith in God alone. Now, Abram's home was pagan. There was nothing given as to any spiritual qualities which drew God to him, but it was God alone in the act of grace who elected Abram to be our father. And we also learn that God is sovereign in the process of sanctification, a setting apart for service. You know, when I was saved, I was set apart for service. And if you were saved, you were set apart for service. Now, some people say, well, I don't really want to serve. Well, you were set apart for service. And you yield yourself to God through his nurture and his admonition that you may serve and grow in service and grow in faith. So having called Abram, it was God who brought him to the point of leaving home and kindred and eventually entering the promised land, the land in which God would fulfill his promise to Eve. Remember that promise? Oh, he said, we'll bruise the head of the serpent, that wicked serpent, that evil serpent, or Satan. So that was where the promise was to be fulfilled. For it was in this land Abram was to engage in a pilgrimage which brought him to know that his ultimate promised land was in the city whose builder and maker was God. You know, that's where your promised land is also. Do you look for that city? Do you wake up in the morning and say, where is the city? I'm still looking for the city. And Abram was on that pilgrimage as he went for that ultimate promised land. And we read of this important truth in Hebrews 11, 9 and 10. By faith, whenever you hear of Abraham, you hear those two words, by faith. He sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. See how that promise is passed from father to son to son to son. And soon it reaches us and our hearts, and that same promise dwells within us. And what was that promise? For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking for it. Aren't you, brother? Aren't you, sister? Looking for that wonderful city, that holy city. Oh, my, how the Bible pictures it as a marvelous place. A place of peace and rest, a place without sin, a place where the Lord Jesus Christ dwells, for he is the light of the city. Now, Abraham knew that his permanent home was not to be found in this world. My, how our roots get so deep in this world. But Abraham knew that his permanent home was not to be found in this world, but in the one that is to come, that one that Jesus Christ said he went to prepare for us a place. Isn't that a marvelous promise? I look forward to seeing that place that the Lord Jesus Christ has made for me. Abraham lived in tents, symbolizing to us his roots were not deep in this world, for his heart was elsewhere, and that elsewhere was near to the heart of God. You know, when you dwell in tents, you dwell sparsely, do you not? You don't carry everything that you ever had for the last 50 years. You dwell sparsely. You only have so many camels to carry all your goods. And his roots were not deep. Be careful getting your roots so deep that you don't. You say, I hope the Lord doesn't come this week. I want to go on vacation. You know, don't have those kind of roots. You know, think about the Lord Jesus. The great principle of faith is that we look not for our permanent home in this world, but in the one that is to come, that world where we will be fully in the presence of the Lord. That's our home that we look forward to. But you know, those who walk the broad way, those who walk not the way of faith, invest fully in what they see, what they hear, what they touch, what they smell, and what they taste. Don't you notice that the world appeals to you through your senses? Don't you notice that? Television is full of appealing to you through your senses. That's how the world operates. Those who walk the broad way invest fully in what they perceive as their future. But the walk of faith is not knowing what the future holds, but instead knowing Him who holds the future. You walk by faith, you know Him who holds the future, and you put all your trust and you yield yourself to Him. Those who walk the walk of faith choose only to rely upon God's Word. This is what we rely upon as we walk the walk of faith. You know, Abram had no written word, but he had the spoken word of God, which told him, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Abraham had the spoken word of God. And today we have no spoken word of God, but we have God's written word, which is even better. Do you believe that? The written word is better than God's spoken word because we can read and study it over and over. And by this, hear God's word and deposit it into our hearts, thus guiding us in the walk of faith. You know, I forget what people speak. I forget what was spoken, but I can look in the Word of God over and over and over, and I can hear the voice of God speaking to me through His Word. You know, Abram over time could have doubted the spoken Word, but to have God's written Word is to be able to hear God's voice whenever we desire. So as it says in Genesis 12:4, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." Finally leaving the comfortable place of Haran, that place where his father settled for a good bit. His father had died. He leaves this place. But did God provide an itinerary for the trip? With all the details filled in, that's what we desire when we plan a vacation, get the itinerary, get all the tickets, get everything arranged. But no, God does not provide an itinerary in the walk of faith. For we are told that Abram obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. So here is another principle of faith that we learn from our father of faith. And that faith leads us to simply do what God has told us to do and believing that He is leading us as we do so. That's a principle of faith. Does God fill in all the blanks and all the details? And does He give you a financial balance sheet of how the money that you have in the bank is going to work it out? No, that's not faith. That's living by sight. Living by faith is following God as He leads us along the way. You know, I remember my own walk of faith as a young man, newly saved, I was a lieutenant commander in the United States Navy, married with two children. So what does a man do after he is born into God's family but ask the leader of the family for orders? That's what I did. I asked the leader of the family for orders. I reported for duty because I was now in the family of God. But God told me in His Word that all things become new, for I was a new creation in Christ Jesus. So why would I assume that all things would remain the same? If all things became new, I would assume that they don't remain the same as I report for duty. Well, I did not assume such things, for I knew for certain that I was a new creation in Christ Jesus, and as such, beholden to the one who made me thus. This was my baby steps in walk of faith, reporting for duty. And so by faith, I asked for guidance, and God did indeed guide me and my wife to begin anew our walk of faith outside the Navy, outside of directing engineers and CBs, to lo and behold the direction of 30 fourth graders in a classroom down this very hall in this very building. And not only that, to begin with my wife a boarding home for children. God directed me in faith. Neil was in that class. I think I mentioned it before, but Neil always had the ability to vertically rise from his seat without any effort, without any power. It was almost like a helicopter rising from his seat. And I had some boys like that in that class. Never been in a classroom before, but I was introduced it by the walk of faith. And God had to help me. You know, you can do it by faith. God does indeed think outside the box. You know, God's thoughts are not your thoughts. God's thoughts are not in the box of your thoughts. God's box is great, fills the universe. So if you find yourself translated from the way of the world to the way of faith, watch out. Watch out. Things are going to change. Things are going to be different. For God has plans for you, and they may be plans totally outside your comfort zone. I think you can count on it. I believe you can count on it. And you can ask some of those that walk by faith here. So the walk of faith is not a walk where every turn, every rise, or every fall, every bump is clearly known. But the Lord with whom you walk assuredly knows the way to the destination. So get aboard, for the trip will be exciting indeed. You know, God's walk of faith is exciting indeed. When you look back on your life, when you walk by faith, it's not that humdrum walk. It's not that humdrum life. It's an exciting life, walking the way of the Lord. But Abram heard God's call in Ur, but it was many years later that that call was realized in Canaan. Then it was another 25 years until his son of promise, Isaac, was born. And after leaving Haran, Abraham lived 100 years to the age of 175. So the example to us is that faith is to grow. God knows you cannot immediately walk at birth, but He expects you to grow in faith in His time and in His testing, for He says the just shall live by faith. That's an imperative. When you come into God's family, you are going to live by faith, and God will make sure that happens in His children. You know, a Bible commentator named Staggers wrote this: Abram's life is a growth in faith developed under delayed fulfillment of divine promises. He is promised a seed, and when that seed is delayed, he must somehow see meaning in that delay and learns faith in God. When he is promised a land, And when that land is not given, he must look beyond the promise to its maker so that he may understand. When he is commanded to sacrifice Isaac, he must obey with a willing heart of love, yet somehow see through to balance the command with the promise of the seed of a nation and leave the outcome to God and to find in God all sufficiency. Through all of his experiences, he must come to see God as the origin of all that will endure. Now, what a wonderful last sentence. God is the origin of all that will endure. You know, you think about all the trash that we throw away. Oh my, how we are a nation of generating trash, throwing it away. Won't endure, won't endure, won't endure. Have a nice car for a few years. Will it endure? No, it won't endure. Have a beautiful house and pretty soon somebody else buys the house and passes down through years and years. Will the house endure? No, that won't endure also. But God is the origin of all that will endure. You want to get on his team, don't you? You want to get on in his family, do you not? You know, we have compared the walk of faith to our walk as men and women who first crawled, then stood up on two legs, finding that by putting one leg in front of the other and pushing, forward movement took place in a vertical position. You know, it's a joy to watch a little baby learning to walk. First, they're crawling. You know, Emily's baby, they had a picture on Facebook. I think it was 1 week the baby turned over. Now, that was amazing. I don't know if she ever did. Maybe it was a fluke. But it's amazing to watch a little baby learn to walk. The crawling, then the lifting up and getting surprised that they can lift up and their knees bend in the proper way. And then they look at mama walking and then they maybe reach over to something over and walk there and fall and so on. But it's amazing to see that the learning positions or the learning process that they take. But at first, that movement was one step and then a fall. Perhaps the next, the movement was three steps and then a fall. But failure just led to continued trying, and soon many steps were taken with few falls. And so was Abraham's walk of faith. For in its beginning, God gives us witness to its falls. But God does not forsake his own, continuing to help Abraham get up to walk even more stalwartly in faith, until at last, in the marvelous book of Hebrews, he entitles him as our father of faith. The award ceremony took place in the New Testament about our father of faith. So we read of these falls in Genesis 12, 10 through 20. So if you turn there, we're going to read of these falls that take place in the life of Abraham as he lives his life growing in faith to become entitled the father of faith. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me. But they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. They went to Pharaoh and said, Boy, did you see Abraham's sister. Wow, is she a sweetie pie? they use those terms, but in Egyptian, right? Wow, they really wooed and wowed about her. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me?" What's going on here? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? It all fell apart. The scheme fell apart. You know, God intervened there, did he not, with these plagues? Why saidest thou, "She is thy sister"? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife and all that he had. Now, as I have said, God brings his own along his road of faith, and along that road are many testings and trials in order that faith may grow. You know, God is our husbandman, and we're the fruit of his pasture. And what husbandman doesn't want his fruit to grow? You know, get that into your head. Grow for the Lord. And he's going to bring trials and testings that you may grow. God is not satisfied with a stagnant faith. You know, who's satisfied with a stagnant faith? How you doing? I'm doing okay. Are you doing the same as you did yesterday? Yeah, I'm doing the same as I did yesterday. Have you grown in faith? No, I haven't grown in faith. What kind of fruit is that for our Lord? He's not satisfied with a stagnant faith. And therefore, if you walk by faith, expect God's hand in that walk, for God is always looking to increase your faith. So Abram's faith is tested by God bringing a famine to the promised land. Who did it? God brought the famine for testing purposes. Now remember that at this time, God had already said Abram was at, and he used that couplet word, this land. Abram, you're at this land. This is where you are. You're in the promised land. And he built an altar as a seal of this truth. This is where God intended for all the promises to Abraham to be carried out. That was the absolute. This is where it's going to happen. Egypt was not to be in the picture, for Egypt was that place defining the world system. A place where famines were unknown because of the Nile River, a place where provision was by the labor of the hands, not by faith in the God of provision. That's the difference in the world. The labor of the hands, not by the God of provision. But it was natural thinking to look around and know as the leader of a multitude of people and servants that if a famine comes your way, the natural thing is to depart and go where the food and grain is. That's the natural way. That's natural thinking. And natural thinking will always get you in trouble on the road of faith. Take that as a principle. Don't think like the world on the road of faith. You think like the Lord Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you. That's what the Bible says. Permit this mind to be in you. Think like the Lord Jesus Christ thinks on the road of faith. Now, did Abram have any idea that suffering and trials were part of God's curriculum in the school of faith? Did Abram not believe that the God who called him was the God to whom all nature bowed in submission? God could bring in a famine. God could bring in the rains. Did he believe that? Did Abram consider that this God whose voice he heard brought the famine so that Abram would call upon him for deliverance, thus increasing his faith? That's another principle. God puts us through lack. We call upon him for increase. We call upon him for multitude. Abram looked around and he saw the evidence of a famine. First mistake, for faith does not walk by sight. He looked around. What did he see? He saw a famine. Be careful seeing things with your eyes if you're walking on the walk of faith. So what about logic? What does logic preach? It preaches that all there is what you know by what this body tells you. That's what all the scientists believe. What this body tells me is all there is. Second mistake, for this body does not walk by faith, for faith is walked in the Spirit. Be careful of walking in the body thinking that that's all there is to it. Logic turns up its nose and smells the waters to the south and the crops and the grains and the food, which will solve the problem, but where is faith in this logic? Abram did not read what God would tell his seed many hundreds of years later, but it is so pertinent to faith, and it is found in Deuteronomy 11, 10 through 12, and I'll end the lesson here. This is so pertinent to walking in faith. For the land, whither thou goest in to possess it, is not as the land of Egypt. The walk of faith is not as the walk of the world. There it is, right there. The walk of faith is not as the walk of the world. The world says walk this way. The walk of faith says that's not the walk of faith. So is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out. He's always also talking about Ur of the Chaldees, a plentiful land, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot. That was the little canals that they had, as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it, it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. God feeds the land where you're going to. The land where you're going to, you have to depend upon me to feed the land. A land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year, even unto the end of the year. So that's the difference. God brought him to the promised land where God promised to provide. Here's a famine. Can God provide in a famine? Look at all these flocks. Look at all these men servants. Look at all these maid servants. How can God provide for all of this? Oh, that's walking in the flesh. That's not walking on the road of faith. And Abram flunked the test of faith by thinking about Egypt and the well-watered plains of Egypt, all the grains and all the food for his cattle and his sheep. But this is the difference. God says, I'm bringing to you to a land whereby faith tells you to depend upon me. And that's the land that God has brought you to if you're living and walking on the road of faith. Do you depend upon God upon that walk? Or do you depend upon your bank account? What do? Do you walk on the road of faith? Are you growing? Father, thank you so much for this wonderful example of Abraham, who we are now watching in the baby steps of faith. But we know that there will come a time where this man will be lifted up, and we are to look at him as the great example of the man who walked by faith and obeyed you and walked in the right way. Do bless us now, Lord. Bless our pastor as he labors in the pulpit with the Word of God. Help us to have ears to hear, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.